Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. I'm Cosmo, the first head.
And I'm Dane, the centrifugal force head.
Because of...
loop-de-loops.
Ah, okay. Two-Headed Game Master is a podcast about writing, designing, running, and playing role-playing games, where we discuss our favorite hobby, share our thoughts with you, and play some games sometimes. We're talking about loop-de-loops? Roller coasters?
Not quite. We're talking about progression loops. Mm-hmm. So like the feedback loop of progression, right? That's what we're talking about today.
So
we're gonna start off with like just the expectation of leveling, right? It's everywhere in games.
We're gonna talk about that psychologically and also like historically. We're gonna talk about this concept of a grind that is pretty key to the concept of progression oftentimes in gaming. We'll talk about the
dopamine,
the make brain feel good aspect of it that is, I don't know, maybe why the whole concept exists. And then we'll wrap it up.
Well, okay, we got a couple other things to talk about in that dopamine reward thing, right? But we're good there.
Okay, so
the expectation.
Yeah, where does it come from? Why is this a thing? It's pretty ubiquitous to gaming. I would say, you know, video games being the more popular medium, it's probably more often associated with that, but it's been a part of pen and paper role-playing since pen and paper role-playing was pen and paper role-playing. There was the concept of your character getting stronger over time, gaining experience, leveling up, and in doing so, unlocking new traits and abilities and spells. Specifically talking about like advanced Dungeons and Dragons and that very beginning of the hobby.
Right, but which is interesting because they didn't have a like exponential or like even leveling system. It wasn't completely one to one, right? Different classes leveled up at different rates and got different things at rewards. Yeah. Like what was it you said the other day when we were talking about this?
They called it, what'd they call it?
Like fighters.
Yeah, they called it a linear fighter and an exponential spellcaster.
Yeah.
Speaking in terms of like, you know, a graph visual. Mm-hmm. So a fighter will continue to get like a little bit better each time at the same rate. And by the end, and this is specifically talking about, they were talking about fighters and spellcasters back then. And a wizard starts out as a piece of shit who can't do anything and dies to, you know, one dagger attack. But by the time a wizard is at max level, they're
a god.
Yeah, they're a super weapon. Whereas, you know, a max level fighter back then was just a better fighter. The idea of like exponential growth in some classes, unlocking incredibly more powerful things, versus, you know, some classes not getting, and, you know, there was just weird stuff. There was things that the thief class could do at a certain point, just like automatically. They could have, you know, like heads of state assassinated in their downtime or go do it themselves. I don't know. Just weird stuff. And all of this was tied to levels. Since then.
Right, through an XP system, right? So you fight monsters, you do tasks, you complete quests, you get experience points, and, like, that's, you know, the history of XP, right? You know, that's experience points. An arbitrary number that says you did a thing, right? And so you are better now because you did a thing. Right, and obviously, you know, huge influence from video games, and like, you know, maybe there's some crossover, right? Because, like, you know, you think about the first like arcade video games, is like there wasn't really a level up for like your character, but like, you know, you got better at the game,
you progressed to next levels.
harder levels, right?
So, you know, that was certainly nowadays, all though, part of it.
Yeah, nowadays it's all about that character level up, especially in role-playing games.
Yeah.
Right?
And we're going to talk more about that. Hence, and then we're going to talk about, like, why.
The grind.
Yeah.
Right? So, the grind is some slang that came up. I mean, I don't know if it started in the video game world, but, like, it's definitely a part of, you know, society now. Because they'd be talking about, like, the daily grind of your job and shit, right?
Yeah.
Right? Put your nose to the grindstone. Do some remedial work, right, to get an achievement, right? So, like, you put in and, like, you know, we got down here.
We got video game
examples.
Very
funny example. Yeah. You know, the World of Warcraft South Park episode, mm-hmm. right? Like, they grind boars in the forest.
Yeah. For, I don't know, what?
Weeks.
For weeks and weeks for, like, the pittance of XP that you get for slaying a boar. Just constantly, and you could, you know, I'm sure the math has been done multiple times by various people to figure out how long that would actually have taken to level up that way. But there was also, you know, it was satirizing a real thing where people would pay other people, basically, like, farm out your account to someone else to grind you up to the level that you wanted to be so you could go do the stuff that you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we have Destiny written here, something right. that's always been a little bit of a, like, an annoying thing for me, the way you engage with that game, like, get in, do your dailies, and then make sure you do your weeklies for your, you know, your chance your XP at bonus, loot rolls and your right? XP bonuses.
Because, I mean, those things that you talk, like, your daily challenges, it's not like you didn't gain XP other places, but, like, it would give you a huge incentive to do a stupid task, like go collect, yeah. you know, moonflowers.
To do the specific thing.
And then you get an XP bonus, yeah. right? So you level up much more or quickly, right?
You level up much more quickly. And we're going to talk about, you know, the hit of leveling up, the, you know, the thing you keep coming back to. But I do want to talk about the other example that we have here.
Well, so, like, those, the things that we just talked about, like, yeah. those are traditional grinds.
Yes.
Right? So, like, you do something that doesn't give you a lot of XP. You just do it over and over and over and over again until you reach that arbitrary cap. Or, yeah. you know, like, you know, Pokemon. We didn't put Pokemon
we
on
didn't
the outline.
But that's a great one.
That's
yeah.
a great grind. Traditional grind example, right? Like, you have a level 50 Pokemon that you're trying to level up. So you just go do battles. You, like, go mm-hmm. walk around in the forest and then, like,
trigger, you know, stuff.
You can min-max that with, like, ooh, this one Pokemon gives me more XP, or, you know, fighting this wild Pokemon gives me more XP than the others. So, like, that's who I'm going to go target.
Right.
Right. And which is a thing. I'm not really sold on that. I kind of stopped enjoying that a long time ago.
See, I enjoyed it. Pokemon's a great example. I enjoyed it when I was a kid, and I didn't really, perceive the, you know, the math behind the little pixels. The, you know, if you haven't seen The Matrix, it just feels like you're playing the game, and the numbers go up just appropriately. That's how it felt to me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But once you understand what those numbers are, you know, directly representative, you start to look for ways to optimize them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes, I think it becomes very much a grind.
Yeah.
Which,
like,
you know, you'll optimize the fun out of your own gameplay experience
yeah.
in order to just, like, to maximize that number.
Right.
You know?
Right. Which, like, I always, like, occasionally, every so often, I'm like, man, now that I'm an adult and, like, I have what some might say discipline, but others might say, you know, a lack of discipline, is like, I don't
have much more than I used to.
I'd really love to, like, go get all a full fucking Pokedex.
Yeah.
Like, man, I've never done that before.
Get a Pokemon Blue and
get
all of them.
Then, like, the second I, like, start actually thinking about it, I'm like, wait a second. No, because that's just countless hours of walking around in a field and, like, Because then you got to, you know, then you got to evolve them too. And so it's just like, nah.
Yeah.
Not for me anymore.
Yeah.
So this other example of a grind, right? The Souls games.
Right.
Which is a very recent phenomenon in the last 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly doesn't compare to, like, the age of pen and paper gaming. But, you know, we both played the hell out of Elden Ring. Multiple playthroughs. And, there's something... There's something very different about how you don't... You don't level up until you've done the success, right? Like, the dopamine hit of... And we still haven't talked about... You know what that
it's
is,
coming
but the sense of accomplishment, you can't get it just by accident. You know, like as the numbers go
you
up,
can, so like you can grind like the Boar in the Forest style example in like Elden Ring, but that means jack shit if you're not good enough to dodge an attack.
Because all that does is make your numbers go up. You still have to. By your skill, and your skill is also, you know, boosted by your stats and the types of weapons you have. And if you've done the smart things and, like, improved your weapons or not, and the game will check you with that. You'll be like, well, I'm pretty high level. I should be able to fight this guy. Oh, but I forgot to, you know, use my smithing stones. My sword's not doing very much damage. The game will check you and kind of show you that you haven't been doing something. You still don't get to move forward until you've, you know, fought the guys, gotten through the dungeon, seen the boss a couple of times, died to him probably a couple of times, and done the run back. And then when you kill him, that's when you really get, like, the level up
reward.
Right? Like, you don't get it until you've actually... until you've actually accomplished the thing, which requires work on your part, not on the part of numbers in the video game.
Which is why I had such a hard time the first time I played it, is because I was so ingrained in the traditional grind, right? So it's like, you know, I got stuck on a boss, and it's like, how the fuck do I beat this guy, right? I should be... I did all the things. I did, like, all the lead up to the boss.
I'm as leveled as I could reasonably be at this point. My sword is leveled.
And then, you know, and so I washed out of my first playthrough, and then I went back to it, and like, okay, I understand the game much better now that there's a level of skill that I need to obtain, which can be modified and, like, lessened by leveling up. So, like, oh, this boss is really hard. Well, I'm going to go do some other things, gain a couple levels, get my health up so I can survive, like, the attack that I just can't dodge, and then just get good at dodging the other things that I can dodge.
Yeah.
And then, boom, through a combo of that, I can beat the boss, and then, man, does that dopamine hit.
Yeah, it really does. Much more than, you know, like, in a Pokemon, or I would even say in, like, a Destiny, where Destiny does have pretty phenomenal gameplay. The just like the core shooter and movement mechanics are really, they're really well designed, but there's also no difference between anything you do ever.
Well, yeah, because the like so beating a raid boss in Destiny, it has way more to do with gear than actual skill, in my opinion.
I would say so, and then it's also just like, you know, pouring fire into him and using your powers.
You gotta have a good gun
mode, whatever.
You gotta be specced out power wise correctly.
Whereas you know, beating games like Elden Ring and the rest of the Souls series and stuff, I feel like they ask something from you that is much more like, you know, a sport or mastering a craft. You know, it is, it's something that you can cheese a little bit with the numbers, but it still asks you to
develop the skill yourself.
To actually, like, practice and develop skills that you don't have at the beginning of each boss encounter. And maybe, you know, you're a savant at it, or if you've played the game multiple times, you're going to remember, like, yeah, this is how I fight Margit, whatever. But, you know, like, getting good at bowling, or, like, you know, a woodworking, a crafting sort of hobby type thing. It asks you to put in the time and then, you know, doesn't reward you until you've achieved some mastery. And sometimes you can beat a boss because you get lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But that still feels pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're going to get checked again. Because if you beat a boss by being lucky and nothing else, you're going to be checked immediately by what comes after that. So, you know, it's still going to ask you to practice and improve in a way that a grind, that killing boars in the woods just for, you know, hours and hours of XP blips doesn't give you.
Right. So the purpose of a grind, right, is the end result, right? The dopamine hit at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the grind, once you've sharpened your knife on the grindstone, you're like, man, this is a sharp knife. Boom. Chemical dependency keeps you coming back, right? Like, otherwise, the grind wouldn't exist. If we weren't the way we are in humans, if humans weren't the way they are with the brain chemistry.
Yeah. If something in your brain didn't light up when the little numbers go up or when, like, you know, a bar fills all the way up and you get a little, like, flash.
Yeah.
And then it starts over again, you're like, oh, sweet. On to the next one. Yeah. If the human brain didn't have a pretty, like, deeply ingrained evolutionary response to that, why would you ever engage with something like a grind, you know?
Right, so, like,
that something in your brain likes
to see
it.
The thing that you're searching for is the dopamine hit after a sense of achievement, right? And so, like, you know, we have figured it out, right? Shiny loot, shiny stuff, new stuff, you know, just watching that bar goes up is just enough, right? Sometimes. So, you know, that's what we're chasing with leveling up, right? And that's what keeps you wanting more, keeps you, where's my next level? Where's my next hit of dopamine coming from? Right. So, like, in video games and tabletop games, right, it makes a lot of sense to have a progression loop like that, a level up system, where you want to level up so you can go do harder things and, like, do something you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, in a world that has, like, leveled areas, so, like, World of Warcraft, right? There are places that you just have a horrible time unless you're leveled for it. Right, which is why
leveled.
There was a whole business, and it probably still is.
I'm sure there still is, right? I mean, it can't have all the way. I know Blizzard has really kind of fallen from grace, but I was never in the WoW scene, so I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely not dead.
Can't be, right? Can't be.
But I don't know if it's as crazy as it was, because it definitely went through a boom. I think it's kind of been a lull. But anyways, the point is, it makes a lot of sense.
It's got a lot of competition now that it didn't have in the early 2000s.
Right, and, like, you know, this is true for Destiny as well. Like, oh, I can't do the raid boss until I get this gear, and so I'm going to grind for the gear to do the raid, and then, you know, boom, get that dopamine hit. Right, so, like, in a world that has leveled areas, and, like, Borderlands, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, some areas are locked off by quests, but, like, you could still try that quest, you know, unleveled. You're just going to have a really horrible time.
You're going to be, Your performance is going to be dictated more by the numbers, you know, the your level and the stats of your gear than your ability to play a first-person shooter.
Now, in a world that doesn't have leveled areas, so, like, taking this back to the tabletop space, right? Like, D&D, for the classic example, right? Because, boo. you know, they have the challenge rating system, right? They have all these monsters that are hard. And a level 3 character is just going to die. And like, even a party of level 3 is just going to die to, like, a Lich Lord, right? So there's a purpose to the leveling, because you want to go kill that Lich, right? So you got to work hard. You got to get on your grinds.
Yep. You got to get to a point where, you know, the numbers say you can handle that challenge.
But those challenges are completely up to the game master of what to throw, right? So, like, if the game master is just throw in what you can handle, is there a point of leveling up, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about, right? So, like, as an example of this in a video game world, Skyrim. Skyrim is the challenges and all the enemies in the world are leveled to your character.
Which is, at first, you know, when I learned that, I was like, well, then why? Like, what is the purpose of the level?
Mm-hmm.
What is the purpose of the leveling mechanic? Well, you know, the leveling mechanic still does facilitate you getting stronger. Your health goes up,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, your damage output goes up, and the stuff that you're able to do goes up. I think that's more meaningful.
Yeah.
You know, like, how much stamina is reduced when you block with, you know, two-handed versus, you know, one-handed with a shield, or what kind of armor you're wearing, and the spells that you unlock. I thought, though, I was like, well, then why have a level? Well, the purpose is you still get to level up,
mm-hmm.
right? You still get that hit of dopamine. You still get to make choices that affect how you're able to play your character. But then a, you know, an easy area will still be easy without being stupid easy,
mm-hmm.
because it levels up with you. And a hard area, a hard camp of bad guys or a boss enemy will always be a hard boss enemy because it right. scales up with
up
you.
To a point up and to once a point. Yeah, once you like master Skyrim right. it becomes, you know, the D&D slugfest.
It is where you know it's a Bethesda RPG. It is riddled with exploits, and also, you know, like I said earlier, players are fucking experts at optimizing the fun out of a game system and just like becoming the most powerful thing they can mm-hmm. be.
So in games like Skyrim, like, the level up still gets you that dopamine, but, like, what the real dopamine hit is, like, the loot, right? You gotta yeah. level up so, like, you start seeing more challenging enemies who drop better loot, and then, mm-hmm. like, you get the cool stuff that you want, right? And so, like, that's... In a game with, like, no real reason for leveling up, loot comes into play, right? And, like, it still gives you that hit of the juice.
Mm-hmm.
Right, which is interesting because in a tabletop role-playing game, that's all on the game master to facilitate.
Yeah, right? And to deliver.
Which is hard because, like, solving a complex social issue, you know, through good role-playing and, like, you know, oh, I was able, you know, to use my charisma to convince this guy to do the thing that we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really hit as hard.
Yeah, instead of, like, two combat encounters to do this thing... It's over now with a social interaction, but then, like, how do you give somebody a new sword out of that?
Right. Well, it's, and, like, you give them some XP, sure, but, mm-hmm. like, you know, there's the flaw in it. Is in tabletop role-playing game, it all comes down to the game master facilitating, you know, they're in control of the dopamine.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, if leveling up is... unnecessary sometimes, right? We still want that dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we've struggled with, like, the concepts, you know, in our game of Afterlife. Mm-hmm. Afterlife, post-apocalyptic role-playing. It's available now on DriveThruRPG.
It is. And it's cool. There. Check it out. But we've also struggled with it in the other games we've tried to play.
Right, yes.
To a degree.
The concept of starting with the character you want. Forgetting the grind, right? Because the grind is a means to an end, right? The end is the sense of achievement, that dopamine mm-hmm. from completing the task, right? So you don't necessarily need the grind to get that dopamine. Why can't you just start with the character you want and do challenging things?
Yeah. Start with
that. Right? That's the kind of question. And there's a lot of support for... Why don't you just start with the character you want, right? Like, and going back to D&D,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you starting at level one doesn't always make sense.
Right. And there's been a lot of talk in recent years about, you know, the old school renaissance, the return to, like, old school D&D and, you know, Dungeon Crawl Classics and Five Torches Deep. People who want to recreate that, like, low-level D&D play where everything is, you know, dangerous and scary and you die to one fucking... to one orc slash. But also, you know, that's not always a fun thing. What if you, you know, what if you want to play a grizzled old warrior, veteran, or like, you know, a paladin? Even just like the concept of a level one paladin barely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What if you want to play a character like that with, you know, some higher stakes stuff going on and some more powers starting out? Well, you know, how do you do that if you have to start at the beginning and
right
and grind your way up to it? Is that, especially if that's not necessarily a fun thing for you?
Right, because you get, like, in character creation, you can, like, pick backstories in D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, one of them is folk hero.
Right.
How the fuck are you a folk hero if, like, you die to an orc in one hit?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, you just got really lucky.
Yeah, how did you become a folk hero if you're doing that? Or, like, the soldier background has always, it's baffled me a little bit because, so, like, is anyone who's, like, a city guardsman or a soldier out in D&D, any D&D world, as long as it's playing by D&D rules, are they a level one fighter, or are they the, like, the monster manual, you know, stat sheet for a city guard or you know, a soldier, a man-at-arms, whatever? First of all, those two things, they don't match up, so, you know, it's kind of one or the other, and then, yeah. It was a big thing in the, like, RPG news space on YouTube a few weeks ago, and I'm sure it's still a big deal if you're one of the backers, but I think we're, you know, kind of just waiting for the final product to come out. But Matt Colville's tactical heroic fantasy RPG thing that he's launched and funded immediately and everyone seems to enjoy, it sounds like they're doing a cool thing where they have a leveling system, but it's only 10 levels, and the scale is different than the 20-level scale of D&D. So your starting character, a level 1 character in the Matt Colville RPG, is more like a level 5 D&D character in terms of what they're capable of.
Where,
like,
you get the good stuff.
Yeah. You're already a hero. You're already somewhat famous, or at least well-known. You might be famous, but, you know, at least, like, you've done some stuff.
Or infamous.
Infamous. You could be, yeah. And I don't know, just thinking about the concept of the grind and how I've enjoyed and not enjoyed my experience with other RPGs, especially D&D, that idea of starting at something more equivalent to level 5, starting as the character you want to play as, and having the game system with the options in character creation support that, I really, really like that.
Mm-hmm. And of course, like, we get that, like, you know, it's a game, right? So, like, it doesn't have to match up. Like, your soldier background doesn't have to match up with, like, you know, maybe you switched weapons, like, in the, as a soldier. Or
you
just
pick the soldier background because you like the proficiency that it gives you. But you're like, actually, in my narrative, it's not actually a soldier.
Right. And then, there's a million ways to reconcile it, right? Because it's a game, it's all made up.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but the whole reason of this episode, I think, is just to challenge the idea of if you're not leveling up, you're not getting that dopamine hit, right? Because we've had, you know, some questions, and we kind of, as a afterthought in our game Afterlife, added a progression system, and in our, like, you know, recent gameplay and campaigns, is like, we don't really pay attention to it.
Yeah. But then sometimes players ask for it.
Right.
And you have to be like, I don't know.
Right. So, like,
especially if you didn't design your campaign to facilitate progression at certain points.
And so one major flaw in of leveling up in a tabletop role-playing, and it mainly comes from our experience, is, like, waiting for that, like, you know, level up. You know, you're like, I know what my character can be, and, like, I'm waiting for them to get this ability, and, like, man, I can't wait till I'm level 5 and I have an extra bonus action or, like, an ability.
This is a huge fucking thing. If you start a D&D thing with new people, like, people who've never played anything before, and you're like, well, we could try a D&D. they're going to make the character that they want to play as and then be
frustrated when the character the
level
can't do
one
it.
Version of it is nothing like they imagined.
Right. And there's like that desync between like, you know, I have this great backstory of like all this shit that I did. Why can't I fucking take one goblin?
Right. And it's, you know, and it's not, especially if you're new to the hobby, new to a specific game system, it's really hard to say that's the player's fault, because it takes being a veteran of the system that you're playing and, you know, maybe even spending some time as a game master to really understand the pacing of that all and then to, you know, create your characters and craft your characters' backstories appropriately to match things like level.
All right, so it can take away from gameplay, right?
I would definitely say so. I saw people not enjoy it because they're like, oh, well, wait, that's it? That's all I'm able to do? Okay. You can really turn people off when they run into that.
And, like, you know, for me personally, like, well, more recently just because I'm, you know, more tabletop leaning these days, but, like, you know, for video games, when there's a grind involved, like, I usually get hyper-focused on, like, one thing, like, getting the gear that I want or, you know, getting my stats that I, you know, to fit the play style I want to play as, like, I grind those. And then by the time I'm done with the grind, I'm like, okay, great. Mm-hmm. I'm done with the game. I'm bored now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I spent all this time doing the thing to get to the place I wanted to be. And when I finally get there, like, I'm done. Right? Like, you know, I got my little dopamine. Man, it would have been cool if I spent 50 hours playing as, like, the guy I wanted to play as. Right? But I had to go through the grind. So... yeah, I'm not in favor of grinds. I think progression systems take away more than they give for me, right? And you know, if you're,
I think so.
Opposite of that, that's fine too.
I do agree. You know, I was recently playing Baldur's Gate 3 and having a pretty good time with that because it's a phenomenally well-crafted video game. Like, a level of like interesting ideas and writing and branching paths that, you know, I want to say, God, it's been a long time since I played something like that. Maybe the Mass Effect trilogy or The Witcher 3 were the last things that allowed you to converse so freely and choose so freely. And also, like, both of those games can't even fucking hold a candle to the options of what you can and can't do in Baldur's Gate 3. But I also just didn't really enjoy actually playing it because it was so locked into... like, it is such a faithful recreation of Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. My character was... I made a fighter. I made a Dragonborn fighter. And I picked Battlemaster when I hit level 3. Because a lot of your companions are spellcasters. And I thought it'd be cool if I was, you know, the leader of the party and giving people orders and kind of directing them. Mm-hmm. Because that's also how you play the game. By, you know, directing your party through the encounters and the combats, and then just being frustrated as fuck with what a, you know, level 4 and a level 5 fighter can and can't do, and all the stuff that is locked into the leveling mechanics, and the concept of leveling in general just really fucking limiting what I was able to do, and standing in the way much more than facilitating the fantasy of playing my character.
Mm-hmm. So if you're like us, and the grind doesn't really appeal to you as a game master or a player, you could, as a player, you could bring this idea to the game master, right? So, still playing on the progression loop of, you know, getting the dopamine hit by accomplishing something and then going and accomplishing something harder, you know, and keep that loop going. Right. So how to do that without a like level up system, or, you know, a light level up system where, you know, it's kind of arbitrary and like the levels don't really matter. Right. It all comes down to loot, probably.
Yeah.
Right. So like it takes a lot of work from the game master to balance that, because like the first thing that like happens is like you give somebody a good piece of loot and then you figure out, oops, that's way too powerful.
Yeah. And that can, man, that can wreck stuff. I recently created some magic items for a campaign, and I feel like I was thinking about them pretty clearly when I made them, but now it's been a couple weeks, I've handed a couple of them out, and, like, last weekend when we were playing and you guys were fighting a boss, and Josh had a lightning crystal, and I was like, I can't remember what that does specifically, and I wasn't sure, like, is this going to just end this fight right now? Or, you know, what? It is tricky. It's tricky to thread the needle of facilitating the feeling of progression and, like, power.
Mm-hmm.
While continuing to keep everything appropriately scaled to what you don't know your players are going to think to use things for.
Yeah. And so, like, that's a big challenge as a game master, is to keep it challenging enough to where it feels like, you know, they did something, right? So, like, using loot to do that, give some items, you know, and I think, and, you know, haven't really put this into practice, but my, like, theory on that is you don't need to give them... Giving them loot of something like a better gun, like they're already a gun guy, right? Giving them a better gun just so they can like kill things faster or whatever, that's probably not great.
Yeah, that's probably not the right answer.
Giving them loot that changes the style of gameplay.
Gives them an option at least.
Right, so like, you know, giving the gun guy maybe an explosive weapon. So like, they're still, you know, good at shooting and whatever, but they have something that packs a little more punch, but could also hurt their teammates or themselves if they're not using it properly, right? So now they gotta, like, rethink of, like, okay, my tactics have been, like, you know, to wait till everybody gets engaged and then, you know, pick people off when they're not looking. Well, that's not probably going to work with a rocket launcher, right? That's something maybe you come out strong with the rocket launcher and then fade back. But, you know, even that is just a little change in style. And, you know, it's like, oh, I got something new and shiny I want to try out.
Yeah.
You know, I got that dopamine from getting something that I didn't have before.
Essentially, that's the, like, you know, the upshot of this whole thing is, like, we don't like a numbers-heavy grind.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been very fun for us. We also really like the idea of being able to play the character that you want. But yeah. If you give them that, then you have to really look at whether there is any sort of leveling mechanic or progression in that way.
And I guess that leaves you
leaving you with something loot.
To put on the board is you can just be like, okay, no level up at all. Your players are still probably going to expect it, right? Going back to the very top of this episode.
Yeah.
Like, it's just built in. Like, the expectation of it is just so ingrained that...
It's also not the most unreasonable thing to think that, like, you know, if a character in any game, whether or not the progression system supported it, if a character made 100 successful strength rolls, maybe they'd get a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an insane thing to think. But that'd be, you know, an entirely different style of progression as opposed to, like, class-based leveling up, which is mostly what we've been talking about. You'd have to, you know, rework... You'd have to rework it to implement a system like that where, like, oh, you thought a lot of really good thoughts and did a lot of successful intelligence rolls, so, you know, your intelligence goes up a little bit. That makes sense. And that's the way kind of Skyrim does it, is you're rewarded in the field that you practice. But that's, you know, again, that's a different sort of mechanic.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't
write anything down about that, did we?
We completely forgot about that, of like general XP versus like skill based like practice XP.
Yeah.
Right. Like.
Well, maybe that's a separate conversation then. Maybe we come back to this idea of progression loop in a little while, and I don't know, maybe make some different recommendations about good leveling up.
Yeah, we could do that. Well, I mean, okay. So, this episode,
yeah,
you can wrap this up with a nice little bow. Right? It is kind of just ingrained in the gaming space, video games and tabletop games, the level up, right? It's all about that dopamine and achievement, right? You do something that gives you a sense of achievement, you get dopamine, right? How is that facilitated mechanically? You know, leveling up.
Numbers go up.
Right? Numbers
go up. New things become available.
Right? So that's kind of the expectation, is I am improving my character's skills and there's a number feedback, right? Mm-hmm. But that doesn't really always make sense in tabletop games.
Yeah.
Right? The disconnect between like the D&D backstories and
what you're able
to do when you're starting out. So like the idea of starting with the character you want brings up some problems, because like it seems like it takes away that the grind and like the sense of achievement from doing the grind
and the path to get to a thing.
Right, so that can be compensated for by like giving loot, for example. Instead of their characters get better at fighting, they get a better weapon, right? And then we cautioned that it's a lot harder to keep it balanced when you're giving loot as rewards, right? Because all of a sudden, you know, you look around and then like your players have they're like Finn at the end of the like mystery train.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got all the gear.
Yeah. Fucking dungeon train, that is really cool. And then he's like a crazy Souls boss at the end of it with everything. But also, the train levels up as he goes around. It keeps getting crazier. Or, well, I think just the numbers go up.
Yeah. So, yeah, be careful if you're going for, like, a loot-based progression. Just be careful, because it's easy to wreck the balance of the game with overpowered loot. Focus more on changing the way your characters play, like, their play style, their tactics.
Yeah. Tactical challenges and tactical options. That's kind of what you want to give them there. Not just like a gun that does
a better,
higher damage.
Yeah.
That's, that can be game breaking. It's also less interesting. All right. I think that'll do it for this episode of Two-Headed Game Master. If you liked what you heard, head on over to 2HGM.com, where the first thing you will see is an ad for Afterlife, post-apocalyptic fantasy role-playing. Our original RPG product, available at DriveThruRPG. We also have a link to our Patreon and our email if you want to join up, become a supporter of the show, or just get in contact with us about any stuff.
Mm-hmm. If you become a patron, you get access to our Discord, where we do like live events. So, like, you get to hear the episodes as they're being made sometimes. You know, Halloween special, that's our big yearly one
that we've done, which we like. So, go on, check that out. We'd love to have you. We'd love to talk more about this stuff, because we're going to be thinking about it and talking about it anyway. So, come hang out. Join us next time for another episode of Two-Headed Game Master. Thank you to the Burning Saviors for the use of the song Pondillo's Finest as the intro and outro to the show. And we'll see y'all next time.
See you next time.